This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Let's preview the divisional games this weekend coming up at 6:20. Who are you rooting for, if anyone? Babe Laufenberg at 8:40 to wrap up the Cowboys season. It's Sean and RJ here on DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan. Troy Hughes running things as always. So Todd Archer and Brian Broaddus have both said, if Dan Quinn leaves as the Cowboys defensive coordinator, keep an eye on Mike Zimmer as an outside the building candidate. Yesterday, Broaddus said it might be why Joe Witt, Cowboys assistant, interviewed in Seattle on Wednesday. So you would think, okay, they were just going to promote Joe Witt and tell him, yo, it's your job. He wouldn't go around for different interviews.
Right, unless he likes paying, you know, 50% more for a house by moving to Seattle and staying here. Maybe he likes, you know, living in a place that's overpriced and not as
good. Have you been there? I've always wanted to go to Seattle.
I've always wanted to go, too. I looked at, I love looking at houses in general. Just, it's a hobby. I have weird hobbies. And they're crazy. They're crazy expensive.
Really?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. It's like
We need a housing market crash. Sorry, realtors out there.
Yeah, we kind of do. You know? I mean, I'm not looking to sell my home anytime soon.
Yeah.
Let's just crash this thing down.
We're getting a stock market crash, so let's get a real estate crash.
Yeah, absolutely.
As well, so I can go ahead and upgrade. So that would be Mike McCarthy's third defensive coordinator in as many seasons. Joe Witt Jr., George Edwards are the in-house names. Witt called the defense in a preseason game when Dan Quinn was out with COVID. And you also had... did they have a defensive replacement for the regular season in one of those games? Yeah, because Dan Quinn was promoted to head coach, and then I'm not sure if he still called the defense or not. I gotta double check that. But those are the in-house names. What would you think about Mike Zimmer, who of course was longtime coach with the Minnesota Vikings? Jerry has a lot of audio quotes and highlights about Mike Zimmer here on this radio station. 65 years old. What do you think of the job he's done defensively as of late?
You know, look, Mike Zimmer's always been a good defensive coach. You know, his head coaching was a little bit, you know, more conservative than I usually kind of like. But, you know, just, you know, and I don't get to see many Vikings. I'm not sitting watching 17 Viking games out there.
Yeah.
But, you know, their defenses have always been, you know, let's just say at worst, the last couple years, they've been at worst middle of the pack. And there was times, you know, when they were going, you know, when they had Case Keenum, when they went to the conference championship game or, you know, and they had that, was it the miracle with the Minnesota miracle?
Yeah.
Minneapolis miracle. That was a good defense. You know, Case Keenum doesn't drag you to a conference title game. Your defense does. So they've been good. Their defense has been good. Last couple of years has kind of fallen off a little bit, but how much of that is personnel?
What do we need to start setting ourselves up for in terms of defensive regression, defensive consistency, or any way for defensive improvement based upon law of averages? Cowboys defense ranked 19th in yards per game. All right, they gave up 350 yards a game. That's a lot still.
Uh-huh.
They were tied for 7th in points per game. They gave up 21. And they led the league in takeaways with 34. And, of course, Diggs had 11 of those with interceptions. We know that the takeaways are going down?
Yes. I mean, they're not going to lead. I mean, they may lead the league in takeaways, but instead of having 30, they might have 20. You know, you never know what's going to lead the league. They might have 40. But the likelihood is that the takeaways go down. We have years and years of history to back up that, you know, year to year post salary cap, the defensive defenses don't mirror what they were the previous year. You know, look at Washington this year. They were great last year, and then this year they were pretty bad at times.
Yeah.
Now you will get those defenses that have just loads of talent, like Seattle, where they were good for a stretch of several seasons. But the likelihood is that, you know, this team doesn't have five Hall of Famers in their defense. They don't have Sherman and Cam and Earl Thomas and Bobby White. You know, they don't have, like, just loads and loads of Hall of Famers. So the chances are that the defense is going to move back. And, you know, they may be top 10 in takeaways, but not number one. And there's a big difference. There's a big difference there.
Yeah, over the past two seasons, Pittsburgh remained in the top two. So it's going to change. 3 years ago, it was the Chicago Bears leading the league with 36 takeaways. Last year, you had Pittsburgh and New England at the very top. And then this year, it was Miami, Pittsburgh, and Buffalo. The Cowboys were seventh in the league in takeaways. So there you go. So think about that for the next defensive coordinator. And I just hate this amount of turnover in the NFL when it comes to coordinators and systems. Yeah. I hate it for drafting, too. Oh, yeah. I really do. Because it's like, oh, you can't go to a 3-4. You can't go to a 4-3. All of a sudden, a player like, you know, Micah Parsons. Now, Micah can do everything.
Yeah.
So maybe you don't worry about it as much with him, but it stops you from drafting a TJ Watt. I hate as much change that comes with changing a coordinator on defense.
I agree. You know, I don't want to see, and maybe that, maybe they have, let's say Mike Zimmer, for example, maybe he's got a unique way of using Micah Parsons or Diggs. You know, maybe they've got a unique way of doing that. But I don't want to see a massive changeover. I just did a quick little last 5 years on Minnesota. So they were 16th in efficiency last year, 18th in 2020. The previous 3 years, fourth, third, first. So there was consistency there with Minnesota. He may have had some injuries, some guys get old. You know, it's you know, there were some weaknesses on the defense, but like, this is a good coach. If they can get him, you know, I would think go for it. But yeah, you're right. I mean, there's.
And how old school is he going to be? I mean, he is 65.
He is 65.
Dan Quinn is 51. So we're talking about, you know, basically a 15-year age difference.
Yep.
And but Dan Quinn had to evolve leaving Atlanta.
He had to evolve, but then again, he is dating a Maxim model. Okay, so there's throw that in there.
She would love. How much would she view that upgrade from Minnesota to Dallas?
Yeah,
yeah, that's probably a big upgrade right there.
He may not take. I wouldn't want to take that job if I were him. To come to a place that keep her in Minnesota around that crowd versus.
I don't know, man. Uptown. Those blonde Scandinavian men.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, and the other thing about Mike Zimmer, you got to also remember, he's so caring. He's so thoughtful when he thinks about his fellow players, especially, you know, when he's talking about my quarterback, Kellen Mond.
Do you think you want to get a look at Mond next week?
Not particularly.
Mike, why don't you want to get a look at him?
I see him every day.
What a jerk.
I see it every day.
Hey, if you want, you know, this is going to play well with the fans who want more toughness and more of a hardcore attitude with the players. Like Michael Irvin was screaming yesterday on with us when we said, how do you fix the penalties? What was his line?
I want to get.
You got to have fear. You got to have fear. You got to scare them into it. So maybe they would want Mike Zimmer to bring that hard-ass approach.
That is definitely a hard-ass approach, no doubt. It's, you know, again, he's old school. He's gruff. He's got that. Now, he was here with Parcells, but he wasn't a Parcells guy. Like, he wasn't like somebody that Bill brought in. And I got to tell you this, you know, when Bill came in here, he asked Mike, look, I want to move to a 3-4. And Mike coached 3-4.
Yeah.
And did it quite well. So he's a good coach.
With fear. That's what he did. With fear. You got enough of them, your butt is gone. That's what you do.
I love it. There are conflicting reports out of Arizona. So this guy who previously worked for the team's official website could never say this type of thing working for the website, even though I feel like, you know, Nick Eatman, who will join us for the final time this season at 9:20, brings it pretty strong. Nick is not afraid. So this guy who worked for the team's official website reported yesterday that a tense meeting occurred between Bill Bidwell, the owner, Kingsbury, and the general manager, Steve Keim. He added that S hit the fan during the meeting. Ian Rappaport quickly contradicted that report and said, quote, there has been no meeting. And then Kent Summers, longtime reporter, Arizona Republic, said, didn't hear this meeting, but Bidwell, the owner, is very, very upset with the way the regular season ended and the embarrassment against the Rams in the playoffs. So they had the 8-0 start. 2 weeks later, they were blown out by the Panthers. They lost to the Lions. They lost a Week 18 game against the Seahawks. The division title was on the line. Remember, at the time, I thought that that was helping us. Arizona lost 5 straight home games to end the season. And, of course, the Rams game with Kyler playing awful. So, apparently, they are pissed at Kingsbury.
Man, I mean, you know, when you have a history of fading down the stretch like Cliff does. Now, look, this is also his... This was his and Kyler's first trip to the postseason. That's probably not nothing. You know, McVay's been to the playoffs before. I've been to a Super Bowl before. Stafford has been to the playoffs, although not often, but he had been there. You know, first playoff starts, you're not always sitting, you know, clicking on all cylinders. The team was flat, though. They were just flat. They played that game like they knew they had no chance of advancing. They had no chance of winning the titles. They just kind of gave up. It looked like they just gave up. There's no other excuse and explanation for how bad the Cardinals played in that game. And if I was Bidwell, I'd be upset. But, dude, you know, Cliff and Kyler are also the guys that...
Was this Cliff's second year? This is just his second year, I believe. And make sure you're upset at the quarterback, too.
Yeah.
Let's not let him off the hook. Some of the QBRs that end the year, final five games, a 38.6... A 7 against Detroit, a 46. Of course, he comes to Arlington in front of his friends and family and puts up an 80 QBR, a 38.5 against Seattle, and then a 7.6 against the Rams.
Yeah, I mean, that's why they lost. This was his third year. He went 5-10-1, then 8-8, then 11-6.
That's a nice improvement.
It is. Yes, it absolutely is. And you know, now, obviously, Kyler improved, and that helped. And then when Kyler played poorly, Cliff was helpless. That's kind of the way it goes.
I think it's kind of like us. During our run earlier in the year with the amazing offense, Dak, MVP, I think that's when Jerry decided we're a championship contender. And when they were undefeated, I'm sure the owner and GM said, we are legit championship contender, and then it all went to hell.
It did. All went to hell. And when you see that, and that's the thing. That's the tricky thing. You know, we always see that the peak, and that becomes the new expectation. Even though the peak is usually way beyond what reality is. It's just, it's a heater. Dude, like, you know, I went on one never forget heater at a blackjack table.
You mean like on a run?
On a run. Oh, my God. To the point where I was betting for 2 hours. And this was, I was like 24. I was broke. But I had built up to $100 chips per hand for 2 hours. And I barely lost, ever. Walk away with like $5,000. Never again. I've never sniffed anything like that.
How'd you do that night after our dinner? How'd you survive breathing after our dinner?
I don't know. I do not know. I don't know how I survived breathing. But I was up till, 5 playing poker.
A.M.?
Uh-huh. Yep.
Okay, well, it must have gone well.
Not really. They had an ATM nearby. Not really.
Was it a cool setup?
Oh, it was awesome. Oh, it was great. It was a little, you know, little poker house, and, you know, they had some bourbon for me.
Wow.
They sent me a test. What kind of bourbon do you like? I was like, you know, I like a Russell's. You know, give me a Russell's Reserve if you got some of that.
And man.
They had it.
Woo. All right.
I should have gone hard. I should have said, I'll take some Eagle Rare or some Blanton's.
Are those much more expensive?
They're just hard to find. Okay. No, they're not much more expensive. They're just hard to find.
All right. Dak gets fined by the NFL for the referee comments. There's a report that this guy would leave college to take the Raiders job. And who are you rooting for this NFL playoff weekend? Next on Sean and RJ.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
And it's Sean and RJ on 105.3 The Fan. What is the Cowboys' number one offseason priority? Well, Mike McCarthy gave us an answer. In fact, if you missed it, go to our podcast page and check out the full interview at 105.3thefan.com. Segment this morning brought to you by Frankel & Frankel. 214-333-3333 or truckwreck.com in case you've been involved in an accident and it's not your fault. Principal Office, Dallas, Texas.
Who are we rooting for this NFL playoff weekend? They say it's the best NFL weekend of the entire year. Not really the case around here because our team is not in it. It's Sean and RJ here on 105.3 The Fan. Before we get to that, the NFL fined Dak Prescott $25,000 for his comments about the referees and fans throwing things at them. And there is a report about the Raiders and a college coach who would leave if offered the job.
Yeah, that is the report from Bruce Feldman. Not exactly a lightweight, right?
Yeah.
Good reporter saying that he would take the Raiders' job if offered it.
Did you say the name?
Jim Harbaugh. And let me tell you, I don't know if this is like negotiating tactic.
Harbaugh took a pay cut at Michigan.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
Yeah.
He took a pay cut down to, I think, about $4 million. I know, rough. But there are some people who said he's always wanted to get back to the NFL. He's worked for the Raiders as an assistant. He loved it. He seems like a perfect type of Raider type coach. I mean, to go from John Gruden to Jim Harbaugh personality wise doesn't seem like that big of a change. So I guess the question is, which one does he like more? And does he feel like the job is done at Michigan?
Well, you know, it's like he saw Bama and Georgia kind of up front and close.
So this is the ceiling.
I think he sees that as the ceiling. You know, Ohio State's ceiling may be a little bit higher, but Michigan's right now, the way it is, they were 4 touchdowns away from being Georgia. You know, and that's a lot to overcome. I don't care whether there's injuries or not. I mean, like, he saw the size, the speed, and it may be unfair because that's like Georgia's, that's one of the best defenses that we've ever seen. But he may have seen the ceiling and said, I really, my uphill climb is just too uphill. That's a mountain. And I don't have any rope. So let's just go. Let's just move on. Let's go to the NFL. It may be easier.
If he left Michigan today, the job that he did there would be looked at how?
Well, look, he got to the Final Four.
I know, but one Final Four in all these years? I mean, we were talking about him getting fired 2 years ago.
Yeah, we were. We were. I think it just goes to show you how hard it is. You know, he's in the same division with one of the four best programs in the country year in, year out in Ohio State. And you're just not that, you know, and recruiting's tough. When you're Michigan and you can't go next door and get somebody and you've got to go and you got to convince an 18-year-old kid in Florida to come live in Ann Arbor, Michigan for a winter or three of them, you know, it just can't be easy. You know, because especially when Ohio State's getting half the kids that are you're trying to do that to. So, what was his success rate? His job? I mean, look, when you get to a Final Four and you're one of a handful of teams that have ever gotten to one, I put that in the success column. But
I think when they hired Harbaugh, I expected another Final Four.
Yeah.
It's 7 years. All right, 61-24, and the bowl games were a win in the Citrus Bowl, and then he lost. He's lost five straight bowl games. Orange, Outback, Peach, Citrus, Orange. So I really praised and thought a ton of Harbaugh. I put him on that Urban Meyer college level right behind Saban. I'm like, this guy at Stanford, look what he did with San Francisco.
Yeah.
How could you not love that stock just thinking that he is a winner? And so I expected a little bit more with the Wolverines. But this is probably the farthest that he can go.
It probably is. It probably is. Let's see. You know, 2016, they lost in double overtime to Ohio State. I mean, they've had some decent games.
And how many straight to Ohio State that finally got snapped this year?
Seven. I think it was seven straight.
Seven straight. And
that's
then
a failure.
But also, what do you need to really lead a football team?
Quarterback?
Yeah.
They've never had like an outstanding quarterback in Michigan.
No,
they really have not.
Which he'll get blamed for.
He's
a quarterback.
He's the GM. He's the GM of that university. And that may be the other thing. You know, it used to be, you know, like the NFL, and it is. Like, you know, during the season, NFL coaches are there for 18 hours a day.
Well, remind what Kirby Smart said the other day.
Yeah, Kirby said, you know, like, we are college game is losing too many coaches to the NFL, too many good coaches. And what he's talking about is, you know, in the NFL, you work longer hours during the season than they would in college. You know, you're working 18-hour days. But then, you know, when we had Mike on yesterday, Mike McCarthy, he said he's going to go on a little vacation. Well, as soon as the season's over in college football, you got to go recruit. It's a 365 job. Whereas in the NFL, yeah, you're going to watch film on guys, but, you know, they got 5 months before the draft. They got a lot of time there. They got time to take some vacations. Not like they say they don't get vacations in college, but, you know, you've got to go recruit. And it's just a lot of these guys don't want to put up with it. So they go to the NFL.
877-881-1053 is the Autoflex Leasing Fantex. So there's the report that Jim Harbaugh would take the Raider job if offered it from Bruce Feldman. All right. Your answer may be nothing. Your answer may be that you are not watching, like Mike McCarthy said. But if you are, and we will be, who are we rooting for? We'll make the picks later on. But who are you rooting for in each of these games? My Saturday rooting interest is easy. Starting tomorrow at 3:30. Sunday, I'm torn. So let's start off in order. 3:30 tomorrow, Bengals at Titans. I'm easily rooting for Cincinnati on the road. You guys, 877-881-1053. Who are you rooting for and why?
I am really torn on this game. Because I love watching Joe Burrow play.
Love Jamar Chase.
Love Jamar Chase. I feel bad for the Bengal fans that they've had to be Bengal fans and they have to sit there with substandard chili and put on a smiley face and try to tell the world and convince everybody else that it's actually good. So I feel bad for the Cincinnati fans. But I like Ryan Tannehill. And, you know, I hate Titan fans. I went to college with Titan fans.
There are Titan fans?
There's tons of them. Well, at least there were in 1999 when they all started wearing those little stupid blue and black pom-poms everywhere. They just became fair weather fans. But I'm rooting for Cincinnati. It's a 51-49, though. Like, I want to see Ryan Tannehill succeed, but here's the thing. I think that makes for a worse next weekend if Tennessee wins. So I root for Cincinnati.
Troy, who are you rooting for?
Yeah, it's probably going to be Cincinnati. I mean, whenever you hear about someone not able to do something for, not years, but decades, you kind of feel like, you know.
And Tennessee's so boring.
Boring.
It's so boring.
Yeah.
I know you got Derrick Henry, and he may be coming back, but I want the Cincinnati story to continue.
And you want to continue because, like I said, they haven't really accomplished anything in a long time except, you know, an incredible soundbite from years ago.
Will the next person that sees anybody throw anything onto this field. Point them out. And get them out of here. You don't live in Cleveland. You live in Cincinnati.
Is that Sam Weiss?
Yeah. Oh, that's one of the greatest clips.
You live in Cleveland. You live in Cincinnati.
You don't live in Cleveland.
You live in Cincinnati.
Is Cincinnati thought to be that much better of a town than Cleveland?
I mean,
I know all of Ohio sucks.
Yeah, I think they were known that way for a long time.
Shout out Tolos in Ohio.
Yeah, until LeBron brought Cleveland a championship.
Yeah, I mean,
everyone was like, ugh.
One borders Kentucky and one borders Canada. I mean, like, how good could either one be?
All right, 7:15 tomorrow night. San Francisco at Green Bay. Do we have a hatred? Do we have an automatic, easy hatred towards San Francisco? Do you want to see Aaron Rodgers get taken out? Do you want to see Matt LaFleur lose so there's not more Mike McCarthy comparisons saying, why is LaFleur just taken off after, you know, McCarthy left? I am definitely rooting for Green Bay. No hesitation.
It's unfortunate that asteroid a few days ago missed Earth by, like, 10 million miles, because if it could have hit Lambeau Saturday night,
oh wow,
that would have been perfect, because I'm not cheering for either one of these teams. I know you're going to be like, but if you had to pick one, I don't want to pick one.
What's your beef with Green Bay?
Really?
Oh, like all the Cowboys stuff?
The Dez really? Catch still?
God. Talking about a grudge.
Oh, that's Cowboy stuff.
The San Francisco just beat us.
Yeah.
They just beat us.
Yeah, but I don't care if they move on. Because I'm not like, I would care if they go to the Super Bowl. And trust me, the Niners are not going to be in SoCal or AT&T Stadium. Who knows where the Super Bowl is going to be. That's not going to happen. Green Bay could continue.
Yeah, part of this for me is I don't want to see, I'd rather see Tennessee play in the next round than San Francisco.
Oh, yeah.
In terms of an entertainment value, like a heavyweight. I want to see either A-Rod, Brady, Rams,
yeah.
Packers. I don't want to see San Fran in the NFC title game.
No, I agree.
Or the Super Bowl.
I do agree with that one. Although I am very intrigued, and this is sort of the, it wouldn't be a cynic in me, but it would be the petty guy. Like, I want to see the kind of heat Aaron Rodgers would get if he loses this game, because he's really escaped a lot of it in his career. So
yeah.
I do want to see that, but I'm with you. I mean, I just don't want to see San Fran in there. If you want to keep the Rams or the Bucks out of the Super Bowl, then I think the best chance might be Green Bay. You know, plus Aaron Rodgers, as much as an unlikable guy as he comes across, the interviews with Pat McAfee have been really good. They've kind of turned me into
He gives it straight, man.
I mean,
except for the vaccine status.
Right. Even if you disagree with him, like, he's entertaining.
Yeah.
So I have kind of turned the corner on Rodgers a little bit.
All right, Sunday at 2 p.m. I'm struggling. Rams at Buccaneers. I've always rooted for Tom. I always root for dynasties that I don't hate, that don't bore me to death. I never rooted for the Spurs dynasty because they weren't entertaining. But I want to also be right that Tampa Bay was going to get taken out in the second round.
Ooh.
Either by us or the Rams. So, barely rooting for the Rams in this game. Even though there's no one on LA that I particularly love, but I just want to be right about Tampa Bay going out early. So, I'm rooting for the Rams.
Tough one. I love the Rams uniforms. I'm a uniform guy. They're fantastic. The colors. I love Jalen Ramsey. And I like what Odell has done. But I've kind of become a Tommy guy. You know, I like Tom Brady. So I think the better matchup would be Brady Rodgers in the NFC Championship game. So I will root for Tampa. I'm going to root for Tampa.
I'm definitely going to watch the NFL tomorrow. There's no doubt about it. I'm going to watch it. I'm going to lock out my wife and kids on Sunday because of these two games happening. Like, yes. This is Sunday is going to be
mega
unbelievable. But
hopefully.
But that's the one I'm locked into. But before we get to the second game, Rams-Buccaneers, sort of like what RJ said, where he's becoming a fan of Aaron Rodgers, even though he's highly deceitful. my feeling is like that towards Tom Brady. I'm loving him more and more. He's so corny. He's such a dad. and I support him so much. And it's hard because I do like the Rams. I want to see Von Miller get another ring. But in this case, I'm cheering for Tampa Bay.
Okay, and then 5:30, the Romo game, Bills at KC.
Oh!
This is tough for me. I love Josh Allen. He's a machine. And Buffalo kind of has that underdog feel still. I don't want to lose, like, the star power of Kansas City moving forward. Again, I view the Chiefs like Duke in the NCAA tournament. Yeah, it'd be fun to see Duke knocked out in the first round, but if we get to like the Sweet 16, I want to see Duke and Kansas and the powerhouses go to the Elite Eight. I want to see them go to the Final Four. So that's my only hesitation here. I don't know how to root for this one.
Well, I'll tell you, and this is being brought by the Autoflex Season Fan, text 877-881-1053. If you're a true Texas Tech Red Raider fan, you must root for Kansas City.
Oh, for Mahomes.
For Mahomes.
Yes. Good
or
point.
Or Mahomes, as his brother's jacket.
But I just became a Red Raider fan.
That's true.
So it doesn't, you know, it's not a...
I did not root for the Eagles with Reggie White, you know, when I went to Tennessee.
It's not retroactive.
It's not a retroactive...
My fanhood is not retroactive.
Was it Bam Morris?
Bam Morris.
So who are you rooting for?
Oh, I'm rooting for Kansas City. I wish this was the AFC Championship game. I hate that we're getting this game in the second round.
Yeah.
You know, this stinks. It really does, especially when one of the other two scrub teams in the AFC are going to get a gifted run to the Final Four of the NFL. Not that they're scrub teams, but you know what I mean. Like, this should be the conference championship, but I'm going to root for Kansas City.
Spoiler alert. But if you're a Walking Dead fan, when Negan killed Glenn, everyone looked at what was going on, like in horror, like he suffered enough. I kind of feel that way about Buffalo. I feel like this team and this organization, this fan base has suffered long enough.
Yeah.
They need to get past Kansas City. They need to get back to a Super Bowl bid. They need to get there. So I'm going for Josh Allen and Buffalo.
Shout out to the 6 a.m. Club. Happy Friday to y'all. Going to get you to your weekend as fast as possible here on DFW Sports Station. Antonio Brown sat down with Brandon Marshall on the I Am Athlete podcast, and they were going through the scenario of when Antonio left the field in New York, and Brandon Marshall was kind of saying, man, I would have been in Bruce Arians' ear. Instead of freaking out, knowing I need to get my final contract, I would have told Bruce, you're going to see me in the locker room. And then in the locker room say, you know, I'm an alpha male too. You cannot talk to me like that. And Antonio Brown was kind of like rolling his eyes like, yeah, you would have been real calm if they cut you and kicked you off of the sideline. And then Antonio got into the state of his mental health on the pod.
And it's all based upon where you from, how you feel, and no one only gonna know that regardless of who you is.
And this is
the thing with football players, mental health and CTE is this. These guys are willing to do whatever it takes to make some obligated game. But they're in the midst of those games, along that journey, they're being mistreated. It's a lot of
facts.
Stuff that went on that may not have been handled right. And then you end it, you starting your career on the high. It's like a roller coaster, you go up.
Yeah.
And then as soon as it's about to go down, everyone leave. So now, let me ask you some questions because we kumbaya, but sometimes you gotta listen. Like, we got two.
I'm gonna listen.
You see what I'm saying?
Two ears, one mouth.
All right, so if we all players and we all saying we care about mental health, why every time something happened bad or how someone react, oh, he's crazy, there's something wrong with his mental health. There's nothing wrong with my mental health. Someone told me, get the f*** out of here. I'm not passive aggressive.
So that was Antonio in a snippet of this podcast that came out yesterday.
Man, he could say, and there's a lot of people who will deny whether or not they have a mental health issue, and that's part of the problem, is that something is keeping them from admitting it, from getting any kind of help. But you have mentioned this before. It is unfair for anybody to comment on a mental health issue that somebody may or may not have. Right? You don't know.
Yeah.
You don't know whether they have.
We're basically trying, you know, talking about this guy as if he's mental.
Yeah.
Like, that's a, you know, I know that calling someone a racist these days isn't as offensive as it should or used to be. You can just throw it out for anybody, racist this, racist that. I mean, calling someone, you know, off or crazy or psycho, like clinically, like medically crazy, that's pretty high up there on the offensive scale. So that's why I'm always careful with it. But the thing with Antonio is, and people are probably scared to say this as well, Antonio, when he speaks, doesn't make sense. I know a lot of people are scared to say it, but you can see it in everyone's faces. You can see it in Brandon Marshall's face. When Antonio's talking, or those podcasters a couple weeks ago, they're all looking at each other. Like, if Antonio was on the phone with us right now doing an interview, you and I, during one of his responses, would kind of look at each other like, what the hell is he talking about? No. Yeah. None of this makes any sense. It's just rambling. I don't know whether that is CTE. I don't know whether that is a mental health issue. Maybe Antonio Brown just isn't great with the English language. I don't know. Something appears and seems off, but he continued to get employment, and he's probably going to be employed next year as well.
And you know, and if it is CTE, I mean, that's not something we could find out tomorrow.
Right.
You know, those are things that have to be determined, I believe, after death. But I do think that if it is a mental health issue, just to say a normal, you know, mental health concern that could be treated with medication, then, you know, I hope he does at least go and find out if he has something. Maybe he already has. And that's how he knows he doesn't have a mental health issue.
Yeah. Now, in the past, he's acknowledged this topic. His dad told Jeremy Fowler that Antonio was undergoing therapy after his release by the Patriots, which coincided with two sexual assault allegations. He also indicated that he supports mental health treatment, and he was asked whether he needed mental health help in February of 2020, and he said, we all need mental help. So that's where we are. I don't know. Part of me, look, I know it's a meat factory, all right? I know it's, we're going to use you and then send you to the slaughterhouse as an athlete. But part of me gets mad at the Buccaneers or mad at any team who said to themselves and says to themselves, yo, man, we know this guy's really off, but he can run some routes. You know what I mean? Like, where are the priorities? Like, where's your conscience? Where are your morals? Like, and I know the entire league is not just going to say, let's stay away from him until he gets help. No. But I mean, if you know something is totally off and you're just waiting for the dam to break, it doesn't feel right that, you know, you're employing him and just using him to play football. I don't know. I know it's about football and
it's
money
about
and
football,
wins.
It's about money. But we all do know that, you know, these guys, these owners, these general managers, these coaches, they're not looking to make sure that somebody is better. They're looking to make sure somebody makes their team better.
Yep. And Kansas City is known for this as well. And they had an incident that came out yesterday with their linebacker, Willie Gay. He got arrested on Wednesday night for, according to the police report, going to the mother of his son's house to go see the kid. They got into a disagreement, and he destroyed some property. Total property damage, $225 for a vacuum cleaner, a cell phone screen protector, humidifier, and damage to a wall and door frame. So they have a three-month-old son. She has requested a civil protection order. He's not allowed to have contact with any of them right now. He was not at practice yesterday, so we'll see what Andy Reid and the Chiefs do with Gay. Second-round draft pick in 2020, started 11 games this year. And, of course, they got a big game coming up.
They do. They need all hands on deck. They got a big game. This is huge. This is an enormous game. This is probably the AFC Championship game. Regardless of whether or not it actually is called that, the winner of this game is probably going to go to the Super Bowl. So both Buffalo and Kansas City need everybody out there available. All hands on deck.
All right. I messed it up. It wasn't a Bills player trying to score early. It was a Patriot trying to score behind the scenes.
Right. They were trying to score behind the scenes, even though they were unable to stop Buffalo from scoring at all. in their game. But let me introduce you, Troy Hughes, and maybe you're going to want to get the IMDb of this fine, lovely lady out there. Her name is Richelle, like Michelle with an R. Richelle Ryan. She is an adult film star.
Mm.
And, well, apparently she has been seen her DMs slid into by a Patriot player. This player, this is her tweet. This player on the Patriots keeps messaging me to fly out to Boston. I obviously told him no, and he keeps pressing it. So I had to remind him.
No music?
I'm going through the IMDb. Let me do that first.
No music?
No, not yet.
And he keeps pressing it. So I had to remind him that the Pats gave up 47 points to the Bills, and they didn't even punt. And this clown plays defense. He finally stopped messaging. She body bagged him. Another one. Athletes aren't used to hearing no from people. Mm-hmm. Now, we don't know the identity of this anonymous Patriots player.
Mm.
And good on her for keeping his DMs a secret. But you cannot throw names out. But basically, this is, this is like, you start going into DMs of the porn girls. They're going to put you on blast, especially when they're sports fans. They know you just gave up 47 points.
All right, just did the research. Good Lord, Sean, you're blowing the lead here. All right, here we go. What's her name again? Richelle Ryan?
Richelle Ryan.
She has 162 film credits. That's like an interstate. And some of those film credits includes Massage Me Now, Cougar Sightings 5, the television series Perv Man, and of course, my favorite, 2019's Cheer Squad Sleepover 25.
25?
25.
Wow. I think that was the number of the cheerleaders.
Oh.
Yes.
All right. So there's a Patriot player searching and getting shut down.
All right. Good for her. Speaking
of this, and it's a Friday night, weekend coming up. We got some advice for the single Tolos out there.
Yes, if you have a Tinder or Bumble or Hinge or Christian Mingle, whatever you might want to do.
Hinge?
Hinge is the big one. That's what everyone's on, I think. These are a survey of 2,000 respondents about what people notice first in a dating app when they open up the profile. The thing they notice first, they say focus on your smile in your eyes, and don't worry about your clothes or your social media presence.
Okay.
They don't worry about what clothes you're wearing in your Hinge profile, you know, whether or not you've got the right shoes on, although I would crop out the shoes because most of us don't know what shoes to wear.
I'm really surprised you wouldn't think that a girl would be judging you off your clothes and your style.
Right?
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense. However, it can affect how you're perceived. Results show how people look in their photos, but their spelling and their grammar in their profile.
Oh, yeah.
49% say they judge based off your spelling and your grammar.
Yep.
And the type
of... It's your resume.
Yes. And the type of content you post or share on your social media platforms.
Yeah. You're sitting there shirtless in the gym nonstop. Maybe you got a fitness person into that. Maybe someone else thinks you're a douchebag.
Yep. They also see that how old your photos are. The average Twitter or Instagram profile photo, not your regular photo, but your profile picture is 6 years old.
How can they tell that? How can they tell how old your photo is?
That's a good question. They probably can't. Let's just say the average one is 6 years old. Wow. Now, I guess you could tell if it was taken with an iPhone 6 or what are they up to now, a 13?
I don't know. I'm thinking of the Twitter profile photos of the guys at Dallas Morning News that cover sports. They're like 26 years old.
Yeah, they're all grainy. And
God.
Yeah, that's
so
funny.
This was, so other things they found, the lighting and the composition.
Oh,
people,
man.
Look into that.
I'm so glad I'm married.
76% of Americans said they don't always smile in their photos. Rather than grin ear to ear, they'll do a poker face, they'll cover their mouth, or they'll do a duck face. I do the duck lips a lot in my photos. Men were more likely to prefer framing their profile photo from the waist up. while women were more comfortable with just a close-up of their face.
Of course.
Yeah.
Hide
the goods.
Hide the beanbag.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.